Our text selected for our consideration this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, where we begin in verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here ends our text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Please be seated. Our society is obsessed with providing unbelievable choice when it comes to selecting outdoor recreational equipment. A quick look at an athletic footwear manufacturer's website, such as Nike's, makes this imminently clear. There are more than 30 choices available just for someone interested in a neutral running shoe. And that doesn't even include all the styles that are personally customizable. Now, don't get me wrong, selecting the right kind of equipment for the specific activity is certainly important, particularly when it comes to protecting yourself. We're certainly aware of that in our society. And the Apostle Paul understood that as well. The text before us here today has a lot to tell us about the equipment used by soldiers to protect themselves. The first readers of Paul's epistle in Ephesus were well aware of this. The city was a bustling port and commercial center on the Mediterranean that saw considerable traffic from various parts all across the Roman Empire. As such, the military had significant presence, and it was also quite visible. This was not a ragtag group. They were well-trained and well-equipped. Paul uses this imagery to emphasize spiritual protection. Each piece of equipment was practical, valuable, and well-known to his readers. It was integral for the safety of the individual soldier. In addition, many of the pieces were familiar to those who were versed in the Old Testament. For example, Isaiah's prophecy concerning the shoot of Jesse, that is the Messiah, he there refers to the symbolic belt of righteousness and sash of faithfulness around the waist of the Messiah. In a later portion of Isaiah, he describes the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation as equipment that God uses to bring about justice. Without any one piece of this equipment, a Roman soldier was vulnerable. The readers of Paul's letter were also well aware of the story of Achilles. Here was an example of a fabled soldier who, by all outward standards, was invincible. The only part of his body that was improperly equipped was his heel. And this, of course, was his downfall. Paul relies on all of these images to drive his point home. Be fully equipped so that you are able to defend yourself against the devil's schemes. So to do this, there are two critical aspects we need to consider about this armor. First, it's the full armor of God, not of man's own invention. Throughout Scripture and history in general, we see that left to our own devices, spiritual ruin is the end result. We see it as early as Cain and Abel. We see it in Abraham's niece, that is Lot's wife in Sodom and Gomorrah. Absalom, David's son, King Herod, who tried to kill Jesus and successfully killed John the Baptist, and Ananias and Sapphira in the early church. The list is long and heartbreaking. The fact of the matter is that on our own, we are no different than any one of them. On our own, we are completely incapable of equipping ourselves. In fact, we're actually the enemy of God. Born into sin, we are unable to stand before our holy God, much less protect ourselves from the devil. It is only by clinging to Jesus, by faith which comes through his word and through the washing of baptism, that we can even think of putting on God's armor. As believers, though, we have the absolute confidence of what Jesus has done for us. His resurrection from the dead has sealed that for each and every one of us. Now, no matter what we've done, whether we have hurt those that we love, whether we lie to avoid humiliation or retaliation, gossip, or whatever guilt we may have because of whatever we have done, God invites us who confess those things and run to Jesus' arms to put on that armor of God. Second, we need to consider that we need the full armor of God, not a few components, but the full armor. It's that complete package that's crucial for us to defend ourselves against our spiritual enemies. I mentioned earlier that the first readers of Paul's letter knew Achilles' story. Even minor weakness can make us perilously vulnerable. We don't have time this morning to look at each and every piece that Paul mentions in our text, but I would like to draw our attention to two of them. The first is the sword, that is God's word. It's the only offensive piece that's mentioned in our text. All the rest of them are defensive. In another part of the New Testament, the author of the book of Hebrews tells us about God's word in this way. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word is the only thing that we can turn to. Only the sword of the Spirit is able to help us fend off the evil one. The second piece is the helmet of salvation. In our society, most of us have used bike helmets. In fact, we've been told from little on that without a helmet, we run significant risk of a life-changing injury if our head were to hit a hard surface while we were out riding. Without it, the consequences could be disastrous. Sometimes this comes even in surprising ways. Let me give you an example of protection, kind of an unusual way in this regard. A number of years ago, a young woman on a mountain bike was enjoying a ride on a remote trail in a canyon in Southern California. It's a popular area that's within easy driving distance of that Orange County urban sprawl. Without provocation, she was attacked by a mountain lion. Although she suffered injuries, she survived. Why? Because she was wearing a bike helmet, but probably not for the reason that you might be thinking. Mountain lions typically don't attack humans, but when they do, they go for the head and neck just like they would with any other prey. Her helmet was the difference between life and death. That piece of equipment saved her life. The Apostle Peter tells us in his first epistle about it this way: your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But then he goes on to tell us, resist him, standing firm in your faith. So how do we do that? By putting on the full armor of God. The attacks come when they're least expected, just like they did for that young woman on the trail. The only way that we can resist him and protect ourselves is with the full armor of God. We have the opportunity to hear God's word daily on our campus here in chapel, as well as in a variety of other opportunities integrated throughout the week. The intent is to help you put on your armor and keep it maintained. Regular study of God's word helps us to continue to nourish our faith, even as events around us cause us to be busier than we'd like, especially like during a week like we've just gone through. Now, since Chaplain Molstead and your professors are not going to be following you home this summer, and you as new graduates, they're not going to be following to your new jobs, you will need to plan your own training to keep your armor maintained. Make a deliberate plan to study God's word and to pray daily. It's all that we have to stay armed against the devil. Put on the full armor of God. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. God's word is your protection. Keep it the focal point of your training program so that you may remain firm in your faith. I now ask you to please rise and join with me as we pray together the prayer printed in today's bulletin. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to the conclusion of this academic year, we thank you for granting us the true knowledge of you, which you have given through your word. Preserve us in Christian faith, that we may be protected from all adversities and equipped to serve you and our fellow man in all the vocations where you place us. By your Holy Spirit, cause our hearts to cherish the one thing needful, that we may someday stand in your presence forevermore. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord. Amen.
true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be and abide with each of you.